meditation this morning is the gospel lesson just read. And I ask you to pray with me again. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Many of us are waiting for you, and not one of us will be disappointed. And all God's people say, Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what are your plans for today? What will you be doing? Where will you go after our time together here this morning? Will it be home? Will it be to eat? Will it be to watch the Vikings? Oh, wait, no, we're not doing that today. Maybe it'll be watching someone else play football today, huh? Will it be trying to stay warm? Cleaning the house? Doing chores? Clothes to wash? Maybe you got some snow and some ice yet that you need to take care of out there for safety reasons? Maybe you got some homework, right? Maybe you want to do some visiting. Many and varied are the activities before you and me, aren't they? But whatever we do, wherever we go, we are to continue following and fishing. And that's the theme for today that I want to unwrap this text with. Following and fishing. John the Baptizer, the forerunner to the Christ, has called people to repent of their sins. He has pointed people to Jesus, carrying out his ministry there around the Jordan River. He has identified Jesus as the promised Messiah, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, ours included. And about a year has gone by since John baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Remember, that was to fulfill all righteousness, not to wash away Jesus' sins. He had none, but to fulfill the plan of God, all righteousness. And our text reveals, doesn't it, that John, as a faithful follower of Christ, has been arrested. Jesus has left Nazareth, not being welcome in the town where Joseph had the carpenter shop and where he, Jesus, lived. He has moved to the north, to the northwest corner, to Capernaum, the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, that is. Capernaum was a busy place. It was a main thoroughway. Roman soldiers were there. Andrew and Peter lived there. Matthew, remember him, collected taxes there. And Jesus is there, and that to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the prophet Isaiah. The people, it says, which we heard before, dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. To those in the darkness of unbelief and sin, the light of the world has come and has been revealed to them. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. When John's mission and ministry leave off, we see Jesus picking up and carrying on. Jesus, you see, also, as we see in the text, continued to call people to repent. The text says, from that time Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He urges them to turn from lives of unbelief and sin to lives of faith and trust and righteousness. You see, repentance is a change of the heart. It begins in the heart. And it's not a one-time event. Rather, it's a continuous part of our lives as children of God. The Israelites, they've been looking to the future for the coming of the promised Messiah. And the Lord tells them to stop looking and to behold him who stands before him. They are to no longer be looking back, but to look at him. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the kingdom of heaven is at hand wherever Jesus is. The kingdom of heaven is at hand wherever the gospel is. And we find Jesus and John both proclaiming, calling people to repent of their sins, you know, by the power of the Spirit, to be sorry for their sins. And we also see them proclaiming the gospel, the good news. Many there in the area made fishing a living. Among them are Peter and Andrew, James and John. And Matthew here records their calling occurred in a simple way, but reveals also for us the real meaning of discipleship. You see, these men had been with Jesus before. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, it tells of the disciples being there in Galilee for the wedding at Canaan. These followers of Jesus appear to have been there when the water was turned into what?
Wine,
right? Following that wedding celebration, they returned to their homes, they returned to their vocations, and life went on. The Savior, though, now finds these men about their vocations and calls them into full-time discipleship. Their call is not only to learn, but to do. They are to keep on following Jesus. They are to keep on fishing. The target of their fishing is changed by Jesus, though, isn't it? Jesus tells Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Jesus bestows on them and reveals to them what their new vocation would be. Instead of casting out a net, these men would be casting out the gospel. Instead of catching fish, these men would be catching men and souls for the kingdom of heaven. As far as the qualifications of these men go, they weren't college educated, as was Paul. They most likely weren't trained as public speakers. These guys are common, ordinary, blue-collar workers. Jesus would teach them what they needed to know. They would hear his preaching. They would learn from him. They would see his miracles. They would see also his crucifixion and his resurrection from the dead, the empty tomb. Jesus promises to make them workers in his kingdom. And the Holy Spirit would give them the power and the gifts needed to follow him and to be fishers of men. These men met the most important qualification to be a follower of Jesus and to be fishers of men. They had faith in Jesus as their Savior and Lord. They believed in him to be that Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, theirs included. We have a lot in common with these men. Found out from Kim that we have some common folks, the Lillibergs. And I remember Stan one time telling me as a younger pastor that I was an ordinary guy trying to be a pastor. And I thought, well, I guess that's pretty true. All right? Don't claim to be fancy and eloquent or anything like that. But God uses us common, ordinary people, just as he did those fishermen. Their call and our call to following Jesus and fishing for men have a lot in common. They didn't seek out Jesus. Jesus came and found men. So also, we did not seek out Jesus. We can't of ourselves. We confess in the meaning, don't we, of the third article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as he does that for all those who are called, enlightened, sanctified. Fallen, sinful human beings cannot find the Savior on our own. Jesus came and found us. The Holy Spirit has called us by the gospel, enlightened us with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps us in the one true faith, and gives credit for empowering us then also to be followers of Jesus and fishers of men. Like those first century apostles of the Lord Jesus, were not worthy. They weren't qualified to be his apostles. It's rather humbling, if we're honest with ourselves, to realize and remember that nor are we worthy or deserving to be children of God. We are what we are, God's children, saved by Jesus, purely by the grace of God. And as Jesus equipped and trained those he called in the first century, so also he is working on us. We are kids under construction. He's not done with us yet. He equips us, his followers today, for the work he would have us do. He strengthens us, even as he does now, as we gather around the word and worship him. He strengthens us through the sacrament. He works in our lives and molds us through trials and through adversities, and yes, through the blessings he bestows. Also, as the calling of the disciples was now to be full-time and unconditional, that's what it is for us. There are no part-time Christians. We don't stop being Christians when we depart this sanctuary, do we? Wherever we are, and whatever we are doing, we are Christians, first and foremost. The calling of James and John in the text is like the calling of Peter and Andrew. Peter and Andrew appear to have been fishing while James and John, the text says, were in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. The response to the Savior's call, though, is noteworthy. See how they respond? They didn't say, let me think about it, Jesus. They didn't say, well, I'm kind of busy, maybe tomorrow. They didn't say, give me until next week, did they? Rather, the text says all four of them, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, all of them, the text says, immediately they followed him. The text says, immediately they, Andrew and Peter, left their nets and followed him. And immediately they, James and John, left the boat and their father and followed him. Such was their love, brothers and sisters in Christ, for their Lord and Savior. And so we pray, right? May we also, each of us, be so quick to respond to the Lord's calling us into service and those tasks, whatever they might be, that he would have us do. And like their priorities, our priorities will never be the same. They're different now. Now it's Christ first, above all else. Not Paul, not Apollos, not Cephas, not me, not you, but Christ first. I once read, if Jesus is your co-pilot, change seats. I've heard some, Jesus, take the wheel. We do likewise. When we genuinely pray, and we talked about in Bible study, thy will be done. Verse 23 says, and he went throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Kind of interesting, we notice the order that Matthew used as inspired by the Lord. He writes in regard to what Jesus did, he seems to emphasize that Jesus was first concerned about spiritual needs, doesn't he? He was teaching and preaching, he was teaching and he was preaching in the synagogues the good news of the kingdom. But then our Lord was also concerned about the physical needs of the people. He went about and healed the sick, In fact, the text says he healed every disease and every affliction. It was just like Jesus, wasn't it, to first minister to people's souls and their spiritual needs, but not to ignore the body and the mind. If you look at the verses following the text, it says, so his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And then verse 25, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So put yourself in that setting. If you were sick and you heard about Jesus, what would you do? Go to him, wouldn't you? If you had someone that you loved dear to you, and he or she was sick, what would you do with them? You would like those folks, right? Bring them to Jesus for healing. We do that. We do that with our prayers today. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were called by Jesus to be his followers and fishers of men. They immediately responded to the call. They continued following Jesus. They continued fishing for men with the gospel, the good news of salvation through faith in the crucified and the risen Savior Jesus. Who are the modern day disciples? Who are the Peters and the Andrews and the Jameses and the Johns of today? We know, don't we? It's you. It's me. We are the followers of Jesus. We are the fishers of men today. We continue following Jesus and we continue fishing with the net of the gospel. Near, you know, beginning in our home and far to the ends of the earth. We are God's redeemed children, bought back from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. Not with money, right? Silver or gold. But with his precious suffering, innocent suffering and death. His very own blood and body. We're on our way to heaven through faith in Jesus. Something to look forward to, isn't it? Through faith in the one, that Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, yours and mine included, that every one of them is paid for, lifted off of us and put on Jesus. And we are those who follow Jesus wherever he leads, come with me. We are the ones he uses today to share the good news of the kingdom so that others, by the working of the Spirit, might also hear, believe, and be saved. And so I say to you, brothers and sisters of Christ, thank you. Thank you for the following of Jesus that you do, the listening to and the learning from him. Thank you for the fishing for men that you do by sharing your faith with others. And I think it's really exciting, isn't it, to think about how many people are going to be in heaven because of the following and the fishing of that part of God's family known as Mount Moriah Lutheran Church, Byron, Minnesota. And God has chosen to work in and through us for that all-important work. All glory be to God as we continue following, as we continue fishing for men.